Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, State Senator Mark Amadei, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, has a major announcement. Plus, Steve Robinson, he's a retired firefighter, and he has some comments on the interview we did a couple of weeks ago with wildlife activist Grant Gerber. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Boys and Girls Club of Truckee Meadows invites you to attend the biggest party of the year, the 30th Annual Chipino Feed and Auction, Saturday, February 27th at 4 p.m. Get your fill of amazing auction items, good company, and great Chipino. Tickets and tables are available now by calling 331-KIDS.
Big spending, higher taxes, record deficits. Washington is out of control. Sue Loudon has taken on big spending career politicians before, and she'll do it again. A successful businesswoman, Sue Loudon wants big government to get out of the way so small business can invest, innovate, and hire again. Loudon's plan, spend less, borrow less, tax less, and no more bailouts. Sue Loudon for U.S. Senate.
I'm Sue Loudon, and I approve this message.
Save energy and money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
Two championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
The Boys and Girls Club of Truckee Meadows invites you to attend the biggest party of the year, the 30th Annual Chipino Feed and Auction, Saturday, February 27th at 4 p.m. Get your fill of amazing auction items, good company, and great Chipino. Tickets and tables are available now by calling 331-KIDS.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Mark Amadei, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Pleasure to have you here, sir. I understand that you have an announcement this morning.
Yes, Sam, thank you. I've advocated many positions during my public service, which I felt forwarded the best interests of Nevada, because I believe such advocacy is the hallmark of leadership. Leadership is a word, Sam, that I believe is too often absent from much of the discussion today of those who are in and those who aspire to political office. But I also got to tell you that I think leadership also consists of knowing when to stand up and when to stand down. And so I'm announcing with this communication my withdrawal from the Republican United States Senate primary, effective immediately.
Okay, give me your reasons.
Well, you know, our campaign always tried to stress depth of knowledge, depth of issues, knowledge of communities around the state. And basically, I think the first day that I announced back in September, it was I thought I had the best toolbox to go against Harry Reid in November and be successful. But in order to get that message out, you need financial resources. And, I mean, with the FEC reporting stuff last month and looking forward to the real 90 days of this primary, I failed to generate in-state and without, outside of the state of Nevada, those resources. And so every campaign has moments of introspection, and this has been one of the ones for mine. And as you look at that and you say, you know, what can you bring to the race? We've tried to do a lot of sweat equity stuff, and it's helped. You know, I think name ID for Mark Amadei has increased around the state, but in terms of voters who know you and voters who know your credentials, we haven't been able to generate the resources to do that. Unfortunately, well, I don't think it ought to be an auction or that sort of thing. Voters are attracted to people who have resources to advertise and reach out to them, and that's a reality that I've looked at, that it's like, hey, like I said, moments of introspection, knowing when to stand up and when to stand down.
Let me ask you about this. There's a Glenn Bolger poll that came out that had you losing even to the Tea Party candidate. Your thoughts about that, the mood of the electorate as you've traveled around
well,
the state?
Well, you know, the mood, I mean, the Tea Party is something that's going to have to be dealt with, especially here in Nevada in the context of this race. And, you know, there's a lot of great people involved in that movement, and they're angry for good reasons. And I don't think that's something that the people who stay in the race are going to have to deal with. And quite frankly, right now, it looks like it's good news for the incumbent because those folks are out there, they're involved, and when you identify Tea Party, I think people equate that with change, not to say that's the same as the guy who's in the White House. And so while there's probably not a lot of name ID with any particular Tea Party person, it is a strong brand right now in terms of policy. And so I think all the Republican candidates had some real wake-up calls with respect to what Bolger has done and what the Tea Party would do to a Republican candidacy.
And it's the first time that we've really seen the pathway with the current polls for Senator Reid to maintain his seat.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Up till now, all these folks are doing a two-way race. There have been independent candidates that are going to be on the ballot for months now, Sam. So what the Bolger folks have done is a reality check. It will not be a two-way race. It will not be the Republican against the Democrat. And if the Tea Party puts somebody in there, then for the Republican, the eventual Republican nominee to be viable, as I've said in the beginning, you have to combine Republicans with a fair number of independents. And I think there are Democrats that are willing to vote for the right person. The Tea Party presence complicates that, and that means that it is especially strong work for a Republican nominee to do that. I think I would have loved to have had the opportunity, but resources are a requirement.
What was the most important thing you heard from the electorate while you were out there? Because you did do a lot of retail politics.
Well, you know what? I think people want to know that the person who's going to represent them is focused on them. They're not focused on their political agenda. They're focused on the people's agenda. They want to know that this person knows about their community, knows about their issues, has that background to start with, as opposed to, well, tell me about your issue and I'll have somebody in my staff think about it. I think the strength of candidacy lies in strength of connection with the people who you want to support you.
Let's ask what's next for Mark Amadei. This is your last term. You're going to go through the special session?
Yeah, and you know what? That's another thing that went into it. The special session starts tomorrow, and there's some pretty wild stuff flying around right now. I don't know where it's going to... But I also wanted the ability to go, you know, finish that my dozenth year as a state senator strongly on those issues without somebody going, hey, he's just doing this because he's trying to make hay for the ballot that he's going to be on in November, that sort of stuff. And so it's a tough time for Nevada. You don't need to tell anybody that. I feel very strongly that it's like, listen, we need to get through the next year or two. We do not need to cripple the state on an ongoing basis. And we've got a private sector, which you know pays for the public sector, that is phenomenally hurting. And so I'm going to be I want to be able to be completely unfettered with trying to, you know, be active to get this session to do what I think is right in terms of trying to get us through in the best shape possible, but not doing anything that you know, to use a real complex phrase, that's stupid in terms of hurting the private sector any more than it's already hurting.
Up until the previous session, you were head of the Mining Association.
Yep.
Do you think that Governor Gibbons' decision on deductions for mining is an increase in taxes for the mining industry?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? I mean, I respect the governor. I disagree with that proposal. And I'll give you some food for thought for just that sector. And that is this. If you hit the industry with this thing now, you got the planned people still on the ballot, you got mining law reform, which will create something, which will then be a deduction for the net proceeds of minerals in Nevada, and then you'll have Nevada faced with having to hit them again. That's four bites at that apple by the time all that stuff plays out. You can say whatever you want for the price of gold, which is a commodity, but by the time you get done with that, I'm hoping that you don't kill the number one industry in rural Nevada, because then you start talking about the urbans having to support the rurals again, and nobody in the urbans likes that either.
And that's where we have to leave it.
Thanks, Sam.
Always a pleasure to have you
on the
program here. Thank you for coming in to talk about this today, and we'll be certainly talking to you during the special session.
Good.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center is proud to announce it has been designated a foreign trade zone. What does that mean for you? Well, bring your product to TRI duty-free. Manufacture it, store it, sell it, and then only pay the taxes when you deliver it to your customer. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center,
the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, welcome back to the program. Steve Robinson, who's been on this program in many roles, and today he's going to rebut the conversation we had with Grant Gerber, the wildlife activist who's responsible for the Smoked Bear Initiative you may have heard on the radio and on this program. And Steve's credentials in this area was that he was with the federal government, with the Department of Interior, as the director of the National Interagency Fire Center, and on the state level, the Nevada State Forester. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Steve. One of the things that Grant talked about was 30 years of wildfires, and they just keep increasing and increasing in size, up to from about 25,000 acres to 600,000 acres plus today. Do you agree with those numbers to begin with?
Oh, I do. I do. I agree. It's a huge problem.
All right. So what he's saying is that the BLM and the Forest Service are not allowing cattlemen to graze their animals enough, and that's producing a lot more tinder. So when we have these dry conditions, that it causes a problem. And he says historically, the amount of animals we had taking care of that, was far more substantial.
And that's had an impact on wildlife,
right?
Is I think. Well, I certainly don't in any way question his sincerity in this, but we've gotten to this problem not through just a lack of grazing. And I've always been a proponent for grazing and more grazing. We ought to do it. But the fix is not just with cattle and sheep grazing. Certainly we ought to have more of it. The problem that the agencies and the state of Nevada has gotten into over the years is that the process has become so bogged down that it's difficult to do things like grazing. It's difficult to do things like take wild horses off the land and limit their propagation. It's difficult to treat the range. It's difficult to treat the forest lands that we have.
And why is that?
Well, much of it's because of the laws that have taken place over the last 30 years, which restrict what can be done on public lands. You just can't go out and start treating lands, chopping down trees. That kind of thing has to be done because of NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act, because of the Endangered Species Act. All those things, the agencies, primarily the BLM and the Forest Service, have to go through various hoops in order to accomplish it. A good example is up at Lake Tahoe prior to the Angora fire. Forest Service had been trying to treat the Tahoe Basin for years, but before they do it, they have to do an environmental assessment. Sometimes they get sued by environmental groups. It all slows the process down. So what we've come to now is a situation where even if the agencies want to do the right thing, they're restricted from doing it.
Okay, but this is crazy. I mean, you know, giving the example, hundreds of homes lost at Lake Tahoe, and Mr. Gerber addressed this. He said that the forest lands there that were controlled by the government were in bad shape. This ended up causing hundreds of homes to be lost. We're not even talking about wild animals at this point. Mm-hmm. And yet the lands that are under private control are in good shape. Why the dichotomy? It just seems to be an insane process if the federal government is so bogged down.
And that's true. It's especially true at the lake, that you'll go to Forest Service property that has been untreated, but the private property has been. And, you know, even if you go to the cause of the Angora fire, maybe that's illustrative of what the problem is. Forest Service had treated recently around the Angora fire on its lands, but they also wanted to treat the stream bed that basically went up the middle. They were restricted from doing that by an agency up in the basin, so that untreated stream bed acted as a wick for the fire, and it allowed it to get out of control. And had that treatment been made, they might have been able to contain it a lot earlier.
Bob Abbey, who was head of BLM here in Nevada, is now head of BLM for the whole country. We have somebody in a great position of power and a good friend of the state of Nevada's. We have the majority leader of the United States, Senator Reid. How come we can't get something done about this?
Well, and Bob's a good friend of mine. I served with him. We are very fortunate to have him leading this agency. And as you know, it manages more property, a majority of the property in the state of Nevada. I know Governor Gwynn said that position, the head of the BLM, is probably as big an appointment as any federal appointment is there. But to say that Bob Abbey can, with the flick of a pen, solve these problems without the wherewithal, without the funding, without the taking some of the limitations that the law provides off, is ridiculous. He can't do it alone.
All right, so what about putting more public land into private hands? Because it appears that across the state, the lands that are in private hands are in much better shape.
Good idea on a limited basis. But to just say that we can take... Nevada is 87% federally managed now. To say that we could somehow transfer those tens of millions of acres to the private sector and take care of them, just wouldn't happen. We don't have the wherewithal at the state level, at the government level, or with the private sector. But certainly there are selective lands that can be sold off, as with the Southern Nevada Lands Act, which has benefited the state and Lake Tahoe Basin greatly over the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Steve Robinson when we come back.
South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends is the Tamarack Junction. Enjoy great food 24 hours a day in the dining car restaurant. For a quick bite and the best sandwiches in town, it's the Whistle Stop Deli. And for the best appetizers and menu selections and a large variety of cocktails, beer, and martinis, it's Sully Sports Bar and Grill. The Tamarack Junction is your junction for fun, just north of the Summit Sierra on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
There is no appetite for overcrowded classrooms, a state that ranks at the bottom of per-pupil expenditure, and conditions that impede a teacher's ability to teach and a student's ability to learn. What's even harder to stomach is that there are large corporations and industries, such as the mining industry, that pay little or no taxes in our state. The loopholes these guys use to avoid paying their fair share are disgraceful, especially when education is the first place lawmakers look to cut. Make these mega corporations in the mining industry pay their fair share. Or they can lay off teachers. They can shorten the school year and hurt our children in the end. Apparently, that's what the governor wants. But it's up to us to tell Nevada's legislators that they cannot do this to our kids. Courage and leadership, what our kids need.
Tell them to stand up for our kids. Call 1-800-992-0973.
Own a timeshare? Turn it into cash.
No more mortgage payments.
Thank you, Timeshares Only.
At Timeshares Only, you'll find properties from the biggest names in the industry. If you want to buy, sell, or rent, call now. Call Timeshares Only and get your free information kit with our insider secrets to buying, selling, and renting timeshares, plus receive a free $100 gift card.
Over $5 billion sold in the past 6 months proves now can be the best time to sell.
Call 800-535-0720. That's 800-535-0720. Call 800-535-0720 now.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Steve Robinson, who was formerly with the director of the National Interagency Fire Center on the federal level and the Nevada State Forester on the state level. And here, essentially, to rebut some of the things that Grant Gerber was talking about, the wildlife activist who was on the program and responsible for the Smoke Bear Initiative. In a lot of ways, I don't think you're rebutting him. You're just saying it can't necessarily be there's not an easy fix, but I'm not really hearing you disagreeing a lot with what he said.
That's true.
One of the things I wanted to ask you was, you know, you talk about cost, but the cost of fighting these fires, you know, and when you're talking about 600,000 acres and the potential that this could be the worst fire year ever because of the wet conditions in the winter and now heading into a dry summer, where's the balance there, that if we're going to spend so much on firefighting versus doing something that actually would solve the problem long term? And not just in Nevada, but other states, as Mr. Gerber pointed out, too.
Well, probably $3 or $4 billion a year just from the feds for fighting fire, and then you put take into account all the states pay. It could be $10 billion a year. The state of our rangelands, though, and the state of our condition of our forest lands is so bad, And the fix is so expensive that it makes even those figures to fight fire look small.
Okay, but what is the fix? Because Mr. Gerber's saying bring on sheep and cattle and you'll solve your problem, or at least you'll reduce it to a minimal amount.
Yeah, you won't solve your problem. You'll help it. You'll help it. But our rangelands need to be treated. They, as you know, we have these intense fires. Essentially, the sagebrush and other brush and forbs are gone. Invasive species, grasses, weeds take its place, like brome and cheatgrass. Those acres are millions of acres. And then if you take into account the pinyon juniper forests, which amount to millions of acres, and they're spreading across Nevada. And these pinyon juniper forests do burn. They accommodate almost no wildlife because they just basically use all the moisture in the lands. And those have to be treated. And when you're talking about tens of millions of acres, you're talking literally about hundreds or certainly tens of millions of dollars to do that. And the federal treasury just doesn't have it.
Okay, but why didn't this problem exist 30, 40 years ago? This seems to be a problem that's built up over this last 30 years.
A lot of reasons.
Just to give you the range, 25,000 acres back then to 600,000 plus acres now.
Yeah, well, we had large fires back 30 and 40 years ago. We had some of the largest fires in the history of the country in the early 1900s in Wisconsin, Montana, where we killed hundreds of people in those wildfires, and as largely as a result of those fires, where there was a huge loss of life, the federal government said, "We're going to put these fires out, no matter what, and we're going to put them out quickly, and we're going to put them out every time we can." And we became very good at that. So no natural fire was allowed, or very little natural fire was allowed to occur. The understory and the underbrush for rangelands and forests built up over the years. And we have a situation now where when you have a fire, it burns much more intensely, much hotter, and much longer than before.
So what's the answer?
Well, I think we know what the answer is, and that's selective things like prescribed burning, like treating the forests. Lake Tahoe is probably, and the basin is a very good example, largely because of that Southern Nevada Land Management Act. Senator Ensign altered it so that the Lake Tahoe Basin would get money specifically to treat for fire. And they've been doing that over the last several years. But that's one area of the state, obviously, and not the only one. We need to treat our rangelands. We need to go out and reseed it. We need to go to the pinyon juniper forests, thin them out, maybe use it for biofuel or other purposes.
Okay, so bottom line is...
And do grazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, shouldn't we at least, if we don't have the money for all the other things, shouldn't we at least allow the increase in grazing, which Mr. Gerber has already pointed out quite clearly, would help to at least alleviate part of the problem.
Exactly. But
and,
one
and
example...
Can, and can Bob Abbey get that done? What's Senator Reid?
I'm sure he wants to. But one example just recently in Nevada, in Carson City, sheep ranged over Forest Service land and private land for the last 10 years or so. This year, it didn't happen because of environmental concerns. Even though the Forest Service, I think, wanted to do it, there were environmental concerns that were not met. The T's weren't crossed and the I's weren't dotted. So it didn't take place.
Do you agree, last question here, that literally millions of animals, birds, rabbits, and deer are dying in these fires? Because, I mean, that's the basis of his premise.
I don't think they're dying. Certainly some wildlife are killed in fire. They're dying as a result of the fire. For instance, our mule deer herds have been hurt tremendously by wildfire. But that's after the fact. They don't have anything to eat. And they just don't have the habitat, so that causes the kills.
Okay, and that's where we have to leave it. I think this is a very fascinating subject, and especially with the numbers you talk about in terms of fighting these fires, maybe we need to be more proactive and not reactive. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you have back pain, arthritis, fibromyalgia, tendonitis, any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness at all, you finally have a safe, effective relief. Dr. Frank's homeopathic joint and muscle pain relief.
I had a lot of fear that I would be crippled at a very young age. It was a miracle that I found something safe and that had such dramatic pain relief.
Dr. Frank's is all natural. Just spray here and stop all your pain everywhere. For the first time ever, these 10 homeopathic ingredients have been combined in a revolutionary oral spray that stops inflammation, pain, and stiffness.
I pretty much quit tennis just because of the pounding. Since using this spray, my pain and tenderness and swelling and soreness and stiffness has gone.
If you have any kind of joint and muscle pain or stiffness, Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief is the safe, all-natural relief you've been searching for.
I have no pain in my knees, no sciatica, and I'm pain-free.
I'm Dr. Ken Frank. I'm a medical doctor. There is a safe way to stop your pain, and I guarantee that your daily aches and pains, whether mild or severe, will stop or significantly decrease with this formula.
Start living your life pain-free. Try safe, effective Dr. Frank's risk-free. Call now and get a 200-spray trial bottle for only $19.95.
It was as though someone has given me an electric shock that went up the arm, and I could not do that. Now, I can't get that pain no matter how far I turn my arm. And now I'm playing tennis again.
Call now and spray away your pain in days. Call now for your risk-free trial bottle of Dr. Frank's Joint and Muscle Pain Relief. Ask how to double the supply for free. And also ask how to get for free Dr. Frank's 100-page book about natural and safe pain relief without drugs.
Call now. 1-800-572-9269. 1-800-572-9269. That's 1-800-572-9269.
Dr. Frank's Pain Relief really works.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On our next broadcast, the special session begins. We have the man who controls the agenda, the governor of the great state of Nevada, Jim Gibbons.